Grace and peace to you from God our Heavenly Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our sermon texts this morning are the words of the gospel reading appointed for this 24th Sunday after Pentecost. They are from Mark chapter 12, beginning at verse 28, and I would invite you to rise for the reading of the sermon text. And one of the scribes came up and heard them disputing with one another, and seeing that he answered them well, asked him, "Which commandment is the most important of all?" Jesus answered, "The most important is, 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength.' The second is this, 'You shall love your neighbor as yourself.' There is no other commandment greater than these." And the scribe said to him, "You are right, teacher. You have truly said that he is one, and there is no other besides him. And to love him with all the heart and with all the understanding and with all the strength and to love one's neighbor as oneself is much more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices." And when Jesus saw that he answered wisely, he said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." And after that, no one dared to ask him any more questions. So far, our sermon text. Let us pray. These are your words, Heavenly Father. We pray that through them you would set us apart from this world. Sanctify us unto yourself. Sanctify us by the truth. Your word is truth. Amen. You may be seated. Fellow redeemed in Christ, it seems like an almost everyday occurrence, sadly. Somewhere a toddler finds a loaded gun, and someone gets hurt. Toddler doesn't know enough to take a firearm seriously. And the adults in the house apparently don't take it seriously enough either. Every day it seems also that we hear stories of a child accidentally overdosing on medication meant to save another person's life. Again, the young child doesn't know enough to take that medicine seriously. The adults have to be serious about safety because their carelessness could hurt or even kill someone. Every day, people do not take God's law seriously. And on any given day, some of them die. They die eternally. Either because they don't know enough to take God's word seriously, his law, or because they know it and they don't care to take it very seriously. God is serious about his law. And yet, people the world over seem to give it little thought. In ignorance, some fool around with it as though it's a toy to be played with. Some know full well what God's law says, and yet pay it no heed. Because they don't know God, or they don't believe his law, or maybe they don't even believe he exists. But what a person thinks about God and about his law makes it no less serious. Just as not thinking of a gun or medication is as dangerous when misused makes those things no less of a hazard. God is serious about his law. He says, "I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless." He says, "Behold, all souls are mine. The soul of the Father as well as the soul of the Son is mine. The soul who sins shall die. He says, be perfect, as your Father in heaven is perfect. He says, forever, for whoever keeps the whole law but fails in one point has become guilty of all of it. The law must not be merely understood. Down through the centuries, mankind has always had the testimony of his conscience in his heart, telling him what God says is right and wrong. And for the last 3,500 years, the law has been written down for our learning. When God came in the flesh, he taught the law of God. Scholars and clergy and laity alike have studied the words. In our sermon text this morning, we meet one such scholar, a scribe, and he had the privilege of speaking with the one man who truly understood the law, every bit of it, in every way, because Jesus is the author of that law. Which commandment is the most important of all? That's what the scribe asked him. And it was a sincere question. Not like the trapping questions and the manipulating questions that others had been asking him. This scribe wanted to actually know something and to understand better God's law. And it's clear that he'd been studying the law for some time. And Jesus replied with some of the words that we heard in our Old Testament lesson for this morning. The most important is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. The second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. Now the scribe knew these words. He said to him, you are right, teacher. You have truly said that he is one and there is no other besides him. And to love him with all the heart and with all the understanding and with all the strength and to love one's neighbor as oneself is much more than all the whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. I think we know these words too. Like the scribe, we can grasp that what the words mean. Love God. Look who he is, the creator of heaven and earth, the only true God. And love the Lord your God. And love those whom he has made for us to show our love to, other people. And love with all that you have, all that you are. As Paul says, love is the fulfillment of the law. The law must not be merely understood. The law must actually be done. The scribe knew the law. He understood the law, but look at what Jesus said to him. And when Jesus saw that he answered wisely, he said to him, you are not far from the kingdom of God. If we know the law, if we know the words, if we understand its meaning, we are not far from the kingdom of God. But that's not saying that we're a part of it either, is it? If we but know the law and fail to do as God has commanded, the reason we fail is because we've chosen something to be more important to us in that moment than the only true God. That's what Jesus is saying here. And that's what sin is. When we choose something other than what God has said and do it. If we know that we ought not use God's name in vain, but we do it anyway because we're upset or angry or wanting to promote some kind of wishy-washy idea instead of the true biblical teaching, well then in that moment we know the law, we know what it says, but we choose to ignore it. Or we're careless with it. When we know that a fellow human being is in need of our help, but we walk on by, How is that love? When we know that a fellow human being is deluded and misguided in spiritual things, and we do not intervene to tell them the truth, how is that love? That's a dangerous lack of love, fellow redeemed. And we know that this describes us. Every sin, no matter how big or how small in the eyes of men, no matter how many people it affects, is a complete, arrogant affront to God. How dare we choose our own wants over His? How dare we shove Him aside for our own agenda? How dare we just do lip service to His commandments? I don't know whether the scribe comprehended this or not, but after that, no one dared to ask Him any more questions because it was clear what Jesus was actually saying. Merely knowing the law but not doing it, if anything, is worse. Worse than being completely ignorant, and no one is completely ignorant of God's law because our consciences tell us what it says, if nothing else. Who can't look back on earlier years and remember with a burning conscience something that you did? Who gets to the end of the day and thinks, I did everything just right today? If you can't recognize your own lack of perfect love in these commandments, then you're not even close to the kingdom of God. But even if you recognize your sinfulness, recognize God's law, recognize that you need to do it, you know full well that you don't and you can't. Even the Apostle Paul confessed, the good that I would do, that I do not do, and the evil that I hate, that I keep on doing. Who will rescue me from this body of death? Try as we might, we keep coming up short. We keep missing the mark. That's what sin is. And this is not an assignment where effort counts. Only perfection is acceptable. The Jews as a whole fell into this error of thinking that our effort counts. And many Christian denominations these days and other religions fall into this thinking too. If we only strive to be good, then God will just overlook the rest. But God does not. He sees it all. And to Him it is terribly offensive when we sin against Him. He knows the attitudes and desires of our hearts, every last one of them. And while the law must be done, it's pretty clear that we cannot do it. The law instead must be fulfilled. Fulfilled by another. Fulfilled by a perfect man who does it in our place. Jesus said, "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law. I have not come to abolish the commandments, but to fulfill them. For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not an iota, not a dot will pass from the law until all is accomplished." Jesus came to do what was impossible for us sinful human beings. He came to love perfectly because He is love. He came to live perfectly because He is life itself. He came to sacrifice, the perfect sacrifice for us, by being the sacrifice Himself. Came to make peace between God and His adulterous people who over and over again have sinned against Him. He came to make peace between God and man and to take our place under a justly deserved sentence of eternal death. And He came to credit to us by faith His righteousness, His life, His love. What depths of love this is. Jesus continues, "Therefore, whoever relaxes these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." Fellow redeemed, this business of following the commandments is the showing of real, genuine love. And you can't gin that up. Our love does not come about because we need to do it to make God happy with us. That's impossible. Our love comes from thankfulness. Thankfulness to God for loving us so much that He sent His only Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not just ours, but the sins of the whole world. We love Him because He first loved us, as John says. The truth about Jesus' love and about His work for us is called the gospel, and that stands alongside the law of God in perfect harmony with it. They're just one word of God together. They're both important. But if anything, the gospel is importanter. I didn't want to say more important because it stands on equal footing with the law, but there's something more important about it for us. God is serious about His law, but He's even more serious about His love for you. Believe it. Trust Him. Look to Jesus as the author and perfecter of your faith. He laid down His life for you. He loves you. Follow Him. Follow Him. And love your God and your neighbor as you ought to. Not because you're compelled, but because you're thankful. Love them. And rely upon Jesus. Because He has fully paid for your sins. Every last one of them. He's God in the flesh. He's overcome all of that by His cross, by His death, and by His resurrection. You're His own child. He loves you. And He even gives you His word on the matter. And He even gives you that very body and blood for the remission of all of your sins. He will never leave you or forsake you, He says. Don't go looking elsewhere for this great treasure. You have it by faith. God has given that to you as a free gift. It's yours. He's given you His word. Trust Him. Believe Him. You are forgiven. Take His law seriously. Delight in the law of the Lord, as Psalm 1 says, because it shows us how we as Christians, redeemed by God, may serve the Lord and one another with gladness. Amen. Please rise. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all our understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto everlasting life. Amen.